Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're diving straight into a challenge many ambitious folks face, figuring out the best way to tackle really demanding learning.
Yeah, that big choice.
We're talking about the fork in the road between going it alone with self-study or opting for the structured support of coaching, whether you're facing down something like the notoriously rigorous CFA exams in finance, or maybe the high-stakes UPSC IAS civil service exam in India, that gateway to public service.
Big exam.
Or really any situation where you need to gain serious expertise, this decision can feel like a major hurdle.
It absolutely is a pivotal moment for learners. And what's interesting here is that our mission isn't really to declare one path, like superior.
Right.
Instead, in this deep dive, we've sifted through a variety of sources, discussions around CFA self-study versus coaching, an analysis of a college coaching initiative, insights into UPSC prep strategies, and broader research on self-directed learning, basically to extract the most valuable nuggets.
Kind of like a shortcut for the listener.
Exactly. Think of it as your shortcut to understanding what truly matters when making this choice for your unique journey.
Okay, so let's unpack that first option, the independent route, self-study. When we look at our sources, what are the immediate advantages that jump out?
Well, the control you gain is a huge factor, a really big one.
Control? How so?
If we consider the discussions around the CFA, the ability to set your own schedule and learn at your own pace is, like, repeatedly highlighted as a major plus.
Oh, okay.
Especially for professionals whose work life isn't always predictable. You know.
That makes sense.
And the sense of being in charge of your learning journey resonates in the UPSC context, too.
Yeah.
You're the one calling the shots on your study timeline.
And that level of control has a pretty direct impact on your wallet, doesn't it?
Precisely. Yeah. The IMS Pro School article on the CFA makes it very clear that self-study is significantly more budget-friendly. Your main expenses are basically just study materials.
Right.
They even give a rough idea mentioning costs around $30,000 to $60,000 per level for the CFA.
Which is way less than coaching usually.
Oh, yeah. And this cost saving is a recurring theme in the UPSC discussions, too, where the fees for coaching programs can be a substantial financial commitment. POAO, only IAS, emphasizes how self-study lets you avoid that major outlay.
It's interesting because it's not just about saving money, though. It sounds like there's a real benefit to the skills you develop when you're, navigating learning on your own.
Absolutely. What's fascinating here is that several sources point to the development of really valuable skills.
Like what?
Well, the IMS Pro School CFA material notes that self-study cultivates discipline, hones your time management abilities, and strengthens your problem-solving skills.
Yeah, skills you actually use later.
Exactly. And Learn From Blogs takes it a step further, suggesting that actively grappling with challenging topics independently can actually sharpen your mind and lead to better, longer-lasting knowledge retention.
Because you're actively figuring it out.
Right. You're engaged in constructing your understanding, not just listening.
That makes a lot of sense. You're not just passively absorbing information. But let's be real, it can't all be smooth sailing. What are some of the significant challenges that our sources bring up with self-study?
Yeah, definitely not always easy. The potential for a lack of motivation and accountability is a major hurdle.
Uh-huh.
The IMS Pro School article specifically mentions this, highlighting how easy it is to fall behind when you don't have external deadlines pushing you.
I can see that.
And for really complex subjects, think like derivatives or portfolio management in the CFA, or just the sheer breadth of the UPSC syllabus.
Right.
Not having expert guidance to break things down can be a real obstacle.
Hmm.
PYLI underscores this for UPSC aspirants, pointing out how difficult it can be to decipher the exam pattern and prioritize what to study without mentorship.
So you might waste time on the wrong things.
Exactly. Inefficient time management is another key risk mentioned by IMS Pro School. Without a structured plan, study time can easily get wasted. And POLII also cautions about the potential for resource overload.
Oh, too much information.
Yeah, with so much information out there, figuring out what's truly important can be overwhelming.
So if someone is leaning towards self-study, what kind of actionable advice do our sources offer to really maximize their chances of success? It sounds like having a solid framework is crucial.
Absolutely. Structure is paramount. Drawing particularly from the very detailed advice for UPSC preparation in our sources, we see a consistent emphasis on careful planning and smart resource management.
Okay, like what specifically?
Creating a detailed study schedule with clear goals and deadlines is repeatedly recommended.
Makes sense.
Comprehending the syllabus inside and out is essential. You need a clear roadmap of what you need to cover.
Know your enemy.
Kind of, yeah. Setting realistic and achievable goals helps you maintain momentum and avoid burnout. And crucially, using high-quality, reliable resources is non-negotiable.
Right, not just random websites.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
For the CFA, that means focusing on materials from the CFA Institute, Kaplan Schweizer, or Wiley. For UPSC, it involves identifying the recommended books, credible websites, official government publications.
But not too many.
Right. As P-only IAS wisely advises, be careful not to get bogged down by trying to use too many different sources. Pick good ones and stick with them.
Okay. What other practical steps can someone pursuing self-study take to stay on track and succeed?
Practice, practice, practice.
Ah, the classic advice.
It really is key. Regularly working through past exam papers and taking mock tests is absolutely essential. This not only familiarizes you with the exam format, but also significantly improves your time management skills under pressure.
Good point.
For exams like the UPSC that include current affairs, staying consistently updated with reliable news sources is critical. Developing the skill of making effective and concise notes for quick revision is another highly recommended strategy.
Note-taking, always important.
Mm-hmm. Interestingly, even if you're studying independently, considering joining online study groups can be a great way to connect with peers, share insights, and, you know, combat that feeling of isolation.
Yeah, get some interaction.
Exactly. Frequent revision to really solidify what you've learned and self-assessment after practice tests to pinpoint your weak areas are crucial for adapting your study plan as you go.
Fine-tuning the approach.
Yep. And finally, and this is so important, don't neglect your health and well-being. Utilize technology and educational apps strategically. Practice your writing skills if the exam requires it. Minimize distractions in your study environment.
Turn off the phone.
Yeah, maybe. And maintain a strong sense of commitment and a positive attitude throughout the journey. That last point, staying committed, is echoed by learn from blogs, self-training demands persistence and willpower.
That's a really comprehensive set of tools for the self-directed learner. Okay, now let's switch gears and explore the world of coaching. What are the primary advantages of having that structured guidance and support system?
Well, the structure itself is a huge draw for many, a really big one.
Okay.
P01 on IAS and Learn From Blogs both highlight how coaching programs provide a systematic framework, breaking down complex syllabi into more digestible modules.
Makes it less daunting, maybe.
I think so. And this expert guidance from experienced instructors can be invaluable in helping you understand intricate exam patterns and prioritize the most important topics, as P-only IAS points out.
And it's not just about the teaching, is it? Access to resources seems to be a significant benefit of coaching programs.
Absolutely. Having access to curated study materials and regularly scheduled mock exams that closely simulate the actual exam environment is a major advantage mentioned by both P-only IAS and IMS Pro School.
So you get a feel for the real thing.
Exactly. These mock tests provide crucial opportunities for practice and self-assessment, and coaching often helps you refine your overall strategy for tackling the exam.
One aspect of coaching that often gets emphasized is the social learning environment it provides.
Right. The peer interaction and networking opportunities are a key benefit.
Learning from others.
Yeah. IMS Pro School and P-only IAS both point out how a collaborative learning environment fosters valuable discussions, allows for the exchange of ideas, and provides mutual motivation among fellow students.
A bit of shared struggle.
Definitely. Supercullum even suggests that being in a coaching environment can foster a healthy sense of competition, which can push you to perform better.
And for individuals who find it challenging to stay on track, coaching seems to offer a built-in system for accountability.
Precisely. Instructors in coaching programs actively enforce accountability through setting deadlines and tracking your progress.
Someone checking up on you.
Basically, yeah. Which can be incredibly helpful in maintaining motivation over the often extended preparation period, as IMS Pro School highlights.
But just like self-study has its challenges, coaching isn't a perfect solution for everyone. What are some of the key drawbacks someone might encounter with a coaching program?
Good question. The most obvious one, and it's consistently mentioned across our sources like IMS Pro School, P-only IAS, and Learn From Blogs, is the higher cost.
Yeah, that's often the big one.
It can be a significant financial barrier for many aspiring candidates. Another issue raised by P-only IAS is the potential for rigid schedules that might not align with everyone's individual learning pace or other commitments.
Right, less flexibility.
Mm-hmm. They also point out the possibility of a one-size-fits-all approach, where the coaching might not fully cater to individual learning preferences or the need for more focused attention on specific subjects.
You might get lost in the crowd.
Potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Overcrowded classes, as P.O. Niayas notes, can also limit the amount of individual attention you receive. Superklum also brings up the point that coaching might not always place enough emphasis on the most up-to-the-minute current affairs, which are crucial for some exams.
Okay.
And finally, geographical limitations can restrict access to high-quality coaching centers. You might not live near a good one.
It's really interesting to see how these advantages and disadvantages play out in different educational contexts. We even have information on completion coaching in higher education through the Tennessee Promise program. What did that initiative reveal about the impact of coaching?
Yeah, that was interesting. The Tennessee Promise program was designed to boost college completion rates by providing scholarships and, importantly, completion coaching, particularly for students from lower income backgrounds.
And did it work initially?
Well, initially, the program did see positive trends in student retention and graduation rates. To provide further support, TIN Achieves implemented completion coaching using two main models. Proactive coaching, where coaches initiated contact.
Reaching out to students.
Right, and reactive coaching, where students reached out for support themselves.
Okay, proactive versus reactive. And what were the key findings regarding the effectiveness of these different coaching approaches?
It was a bit surprising, actually. The study found that overall proactive coaching didn't have a significantly greater impact on degree completion compared to reactive coaching.
Really? Why might that be?
Well, they suggested it might have been influenced in part by the disruptions caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. Communication largely shifted online, with text messaging becoming the dominant mode.
Ah.
Okay. However, a really significant finding emerged. Students who had high levels of engagement with their coaches, meaning they connected three or more times, showed considerably higher success rates across various academic outcomes.
So it wasn't just having a coach, it was using the coach.
Exactly. That seems to be the key takeaway. It strongly suggests that while the model of coaching might matter less than expected, consistent engagement is a crucial ingredient for its effectiveness.
That makes a lot of sense. You can have the best coaching available, but if the student isn't actively participating and connecting with the support offered, the impact is likely to be limited. The study also looked at how cost-effective these different coaching models were, right?
Yes. The cost-effectiveness analysis estimated the per-student cost for both proactive and reactive coaching and calculated the cost per additional degree awarded. Proactive coaching turned out to be significantly more expensive per student. While the study indicates that proactive coaching has the potential to be cost-effective, it also acknowledges some limitations in the available cost data.
So maybe not the magic bullet some hoped for, but potentially useful if students really engage.
That seems to be the nuanced picture, yeah.
Okay, so as our listener grapples with this decision, self-study, or coaching, how can they use all of this information to find the best path for their own learning journey?
Well, I think the central message that comes through from all our sources, IMS Pro School, PO Only, IAS, Learn From Blogs, is that there's no single right answer. It really isn't black and white.
It depends.
It totally depends. The ideal path is deeply personal and depends on a combination of factors.
Mm-hmm.
Your individual learning style, your financial situation, how much time you have available, and your past experiences with both independent learning and more structured educational environments.
It really highlights the importance of self-awareness, doesn't it? Knowing yourself as a learner.
Absolutely. You need to honestly assess your own level of self-discipline, your intrinsic motivation, and how comfortable you are with navigating learning independently. Think about how you learn best. Are you a visual learner? Do you prefer auditory input? Do you learn by reading and writing? Or are you more of a, you know, kinesthetic learner who learns by doing?
Yeah.
Understanding the specific demands of the exam you're preparing for is also absolutely vital.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be a completely either-or decision, does it? Like all self-study or all coaching?
Not at all. That's a great point. For many learners, a blended approach can be the most effective strategy.
How would that work?
You might leverage the flexibility of self-study for topics you grasp relatively easily, but then seek targeted support, maybe through online resources offered by coaching platforms or even specific tutoring for the areas you find more challenging.
Get help where you need it most.
Exactly. P1 IAAS actually suggests this kind of flexible approach as a potentially very effective middle ground.
So it sounds like the key is to make a well-informed decision based on your unique circumstances and how you learn best, and then to fully commit to that path with a focused and dedicated mindset.
Precisely. Whether you choose the autonomy of self-study or the structure and support of coaching, what ultimately drives success, as that Tennessee Promise study kind of underscores, is having a well-thought-out strategy maintaining a dedicated mindset, and ensuring consistent engagement with your learning process. That engagement piece seems critical.
So as you, our listener, consider your own learning journey, whether it's for a demanding professional certification or any other significant pursuit of knowledge, really reflect on what we've discussed today.
Right.
Weigh the factors of flexibility, cost, the need for external guidance and accountability, your personal learning style, and that all-important element of your own engagement.
Yeah, think it through carefully.
And here's a final thought to really chew on. Regardless of the path you ultimately choose, self-study or coaching, what very specific proactive steps will you commit to taking to ensure you stay consistently engaged with your learning and maintain your motivation all the way through?
That's the real challenge.
How will you proactively tackle the inevitable challenges that come with your chosen method?
That's a really crucial question for anyone serious about their learning goals. We wish you the very best as you embark on your endeavors.